heartbreak, insecurities, self-doubt, self-hate, all grouped into one. It was a piling of heartache, and one final thread would push the entire pile over. With my words, I hope to encourage someone to come out of the shadows as I have. I hope to help someone become motivated to live. You're here for a reason. Welcome to the Reversing Suicide Podcast. My name is Delisa Trichelle, and welcome to the Reversing Suicide Podcast. In this first episode, I just wanted to give you a preview of what this podcast will be all about. For those of you who have heard this name in the past, this is a relaunch of the Reversing Suicide Podcast that I launched in the year of 2021. There's definitely been a lot of transitions between then and now. I ended up changing the name and honestly felt led to change it right back to Reversing Suicide because I realized that everything that was supposed to be done with this podcast was not done. And so here I am again with this relaunch with the same mission, but also with some things are new. So I have the same mission of helping you overcome suicide and helping you overcome the thoughts that would even lead you to that point of wanting to take your own life. But there are also some new things that I'm adding into this podcast. So one of the things that I really am going to be talking about is the actual trauma that leads to mental strongholds. Because one thing that I've learned is that suicide does not start with suicide. And I'm going to explain that a little bit. So you have someone who has decided to take their life. And unfortunately, some of you may have had friends and family members who have already taken their life. My heart definitely goes out to you. I can only imagine what that feels like. But one thing that I wanted to point out is that suicide or the act of suicide does not start with suicide itself. It actually starts with a buildup of things that could have been reoccurring all the way from childhood. It could have been one particular thing that happened and it just kept going on, you know, in the person's mind mentally. And then they just finally had a break. Very rarely will somebody sit down and just decide to take their life without it being a buildup of things. They're not starting with the idea of I want to take my own life. There are just many different things that have happened over the transition of their life. And once again, maybe just one particular event that they just cannot mentally let go of. And so that causes them to want to take their own life. And so I wanted to reshare a little bit of my own personal story of how I was able to reverse suicide and just come out of the dark place that I was in. It honestly feels like yesterday when I just decided to take my own life. And once again, it started with just a buildup of things that had happened. I was very young when I went to the military. I went straight out of high school. I joined the Navy. And so in my mind, I was, you know, going to, you know, serve my country, but I was also going for a better life as well as there were so many things going on in my hometown that I just did not want to deal with. And I wanted to be different. I didn't want to just go straight to college like everybody else. I wanted to be able to travel the world. I wanted, you know, college paid for. And so I decided to join the Navy. And it was also heavily recommended by my stepdad. And so I left the Navy. I left for the Navy at 17 years old. I signed up at 17, but by the time I went in November, I was already 18. So here I am in basic training. You know, my whole life is ahead of me. Of course, it's scary. You know, the journey to get there is very, very scary. I've never been upstate. I'm from Louisiana, so I had never been like upstate anywhere that's close to Virginia or Chicago or anything like that. I'm from the South. And so that was also a transition, just leaving home, you know, straight out of high school, not knowing anything about life at all, and just leaving to join the Navy. And so in my mind, I was going to go. I was gonna, you know, get my school paid for. I was going to go to school and everything was going to be just that. Well, my second month into boot camp, I had a life-changing injury. Another moment that I remember like yesterday, I literally remember running as we were doing just, you know, the workouts that we do every day in boot camp. And I remember twisting my leg. I remember the moment that I did it. And this is boot camp, so we're not able to really stop or anything like that. Of course, if it's something too serious, you know, we can let our chain of command know. But at that point, I didn't think that it was anything that major. So I kept on going with the workout. The next day after, you know, twisting my ankle and feeling that pain, I woke up with my entire left leg swollen. My entire left leg. Now, mind you, at this time, I am maybe 110, I don't even think 120 pounds. So I'm very, very little. So my legs are little. You know, I'm a very, very small size. So when I wake up in my rack, you know, I'm on the top bunk and my entire left leg is just twice or maybe even three times as big as my right leg. I'm just honestly losing it at that point. So I get out of my rack. You know, I let my RPO know that, which is the recruit petty officer, I let her know, or let her see actually my leg. And so I was immediately sent to medical. And it just was a long journey since then. I had no idea that I was still to this day, over 16 years later, dealing with that same injury. Had no idea that it would turn into what they consider an incurable condition. Had no idea I would go through two surgeries. Just had no idea that my life would change at such a young age when I just always had this certain vision in my head for my life. I never expected to be anyone who would have to deal with any type of major medical condition. And so it was such a hard thing for me to experience. And so I did not stay in the Navy. I ended up just doing my 4 years and I got out. And when I got out, I was, of course, still dealing with that condition. And then there were also other things going on with me internally. I was dealing with the fact that, you know, I didn't really have a father growing up and I didn't know that it was so much suppressed trauma around it. I didn't even fully know that I was dealing with that pain. I did not know that I was dealing with some of the things that I had gone through with my mother. I did not understand that I was dealing with being bullied as a child. Like all of these things that had been covered up, I did not understand that I was dealing with it. And so I just, you know, moved on to go to college. College was very, very hard. Getting my associate's degree, it took me 5 years to get a 2-year degree because of my condition and just really dealing with just depression, heavy, heavy depression from the injury and what that led to, among other things, among the different traumas that I just spoke about. And so I remember getting into a relationship about a year or so after I separated. And, you know, at the time, I'm very, very young, 22, I think 23 years old. So I'm not really knowing anything about relationships. I'm just honestly covering up wounds that I don't even know that I have, jumping into a relationship with somebody who wasn't for me. So I get into this relationship and it's just terrible on both ends. You know, it's not just his fault, it's my fault as well. You know, things that I didn't know about myself, different habits and ways that I had. I was a very toxic individual and didn't even know it. And so I had attracted this individual that was just extremely bad for me, went through a lot of physical, emotional, spiritual, just letdowns. There was physical abuse on both ends. It wasn't just him. You know, I was physically abusive as well. That is a thing. You know, women can be physically abusive as well. And I also tore him down in different ways, but the way that he cut me was just different. And so I remember, it was 2014 and we had gotten into a really big argument. Um, About 2, maybe 3 months before that argument, I had gone through 2 different surgeries. The first surgery, it wasn't successful because they said that basically what happened with my veins, it wasn't caught in enough time. And so that surgery was unsuccessful. And then I had another surgery where they actually did not go through with the surgery because they said that something was preventing them from going through this with the surgery. So this was 2 failed surgeries. I was failing in school once again because of the depression and the medical condition I was dealing with. I have all of these daddy issues and mommy issues that I'm not even, you know, that are not even in the forefront of my mind. I have all of this trauma from a child, from being molested as a child, being taken advantage of by an older cousin, who was actually a female, and just all of these different things that I'm not even aware that is just weighing down my mind. At that particular time, I did not really have a relationship with God. I had grown up in a church, but I didn't have just a personal relationship with God. And so I was honestly just lost and all over the place. And I remember getting into this really, really bad argument with my ex-boyfriend at the time. And it was just really, really bad. And throughout the entire relationship, I was just so broken and just lacked so much identity, lacked purpose, just did not even know I had a purpose, did not understand life fully. And so I held so tight onto this relationship because I felt like this person could fix me. This person could love me in a way, and it will basically take away from the self-love and the self and the work that I needed to do within myself. You know, if he can love me so hard, then maybe I won't lack the love for myself. So there were so many different things that I was dealing with internally, and I fought so hard for the relationship for no reason, because this wasn't the person for me. You know, it wasn't a relationship that God sent to me. Of course, it was used in the end, but this was not something that I was supposed to ever be in. It was just bad on top of bad on top of bad. But I fought so hard for the relationship, and I literally had so much heartbreak at the thought of even being out of this relationship, even though it was bad, even though deep down I knew that I deserved more. I knew that I could give more. I knew that there was something out there and somebody out there for me that was not a reflection of what I was receiving at that time. And on top of that, I'm super young. You know, to me, that's young. I don't really know much about life. I'm still figuring everything out. And so, but I'm fighting so hard to keep this relationship. I'm literally fighting physically to keep this relationship. I have somebody who is saying that, you know, they don't want to be with me. And so, unknowing to me at the time, this is bringing up all types of rejection from things in my childhood when my, you know, father wasn't there, even though he wanted to be there. And I'll talk about that on another podcast. But the fact that he wasn't there, this person telling me that he didn't want to be with me, that was bringing up all of that rejection, all of that abandonment, all of the things that, you know, had been told to me as a kid by other people and, you know, the bullying, all of these different things. So every time he would say he didn't want to be in a relationship, I took it personal. I took it as if I was lacking. I took it as if, you know, everybody is prettier than me. Every woman is prettier than me. And, you know, he can have this and he can have that. So I have to settle. I had no confidence. I had no sense of self-love. I just was like a mat, you know, and I just laid down and just let anything go. And so it was another one of those times where we were having a big argument, but this one was really, really bad. And I had left the house, and I was actually new to the city, because when I separated, I came back to my hometown, but then I moved about 3 hours away from home in Baton Rouge. So that's where I was at the time. And I didn't really know my surroundings. He had been there for a few months. We met in my hometown, but he had moved there. And so we started dating before he left. And so I ended up going down there with him. And so I did not really know the area, but I remember just getting in my car and just driving. So I found myself across town in this parking lot. And I remember it started out as me just wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen, wanting this person to love me, wanting this person to really just understand my pain and understand that in my mind, I just cannot live without them. So that's how it started out. So I'm in my car. We're arguing. He's constantly saying, you know, he doesn't want to be in a relationship. I want to say this may have been the same time or the same argument that I hit his car to try to stop him from leaving. Like, I believe that at one point we were together and I hit his car and then he ended up leaving and I was still stuck across town. I want to say that was the same argument. But anyways, I'm sitting in my car and I'm just crying so hard and he's not listening to anything that I'm saying. He's not, you know, getting that I just cannot live without him. At least this is what I think at this time. And so I remember I had some pills in my purse that were ironically for my legs. They were supposed to help my health condition, but I had not been taking them. I think I may have taken a few, but they, you know, they weren't really working. And so I just still had them in my purse. So I remember taking those pills out and I remember pouring the pills into my hands and sending him a picture and saying, like, I'm about to take my life. You know, I'm about to end it all. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with the rejection, this, and that. You know, I'm bringing up all of the promises that he made to me. Now, in the moment, even though I was saying that it was his fault that I'm about to take my life because of him, it honestly had nothing to do with him. The things that I was feeling were deep rooted way from childhood. Even from birth, maybe. And I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But it honestly, it wasn't just him. You know, he may have been the trigger. He may have been what caused me to just feel everything so deeply, but it was not his fault. And so when I sat there and I was ready to end it all, even though I was using him as kind of like a scapegoat, it really wasn't him or it wasn't his fault. And so this goes back to the pileup of things that could be on your mind that leads you to that moment. Those thoughts of, you know, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're alone, nobody loves you. All of these different negative thoughts that are from the enemy as well as your inner me, because these are things that you have taught yourself to believe for so long that it's hard to even break. And so all of these different emotions and feelings and thoughts are coming up. I'm thinking about my condition. I'm just really, really just heartbroken over the fact that I have this condition. I'm 23 years old and I just cannot understand how my life has drastically changed. I can't understand how I have this health condition when I'm supposed to live a full and healthy life. I just don't understand this. Everything just seems to be going wrong. Now, at this time, I don't have a therapist. I don't have a coach. I don't really have anybody that I'm talking to. And this goes into, you know, how the enemy wants to push you into isolation. And I believe that that's going to be my first episode. It's going to be entitled Reversing Isolation. And I'll go deeper in detail about that. But I really didn't have anyone. I was away from my hometown, so I didn't have my family there. I was literally with this man, staying with his sister. You know, we're piled up in a one bedroom. It's a two bedroom house, but me and him are standing in a one bedroom. And so, you know, I'm just crowded in this space with my thoughts. And I remember, like, the weeks before that, he would leave and go to work. I was supposed to be going to school, but a lot of days I didn't even make it to school because I was just so depressed. Now, mind you, I'm in this relationship and I'm smiling on pictures. We're going out on dates. He's spending all types of money on me. Because at this time, you know, he's gotten a great job from his degree. And so he's spending all of this money on me. I'm being taken care of, like, outwardly to the public in a good way. But behind closed doors, there are just so many things going on between us. And so he would go to work. A lot of days I would not go to school. And I remember every day I woke up, I would literally curse waking up. I would literally be angry that I was still breathing. I mean, this is deep, deep stuff. I would be mad, upset. Every time that I opened my eyes, I would be upset that I did not die in my sleep. And so this just goes to show you how so many different things can be going on mentally in your mind before you even sit down in your bathroom, you know, deciding to take your life. And like me, I was sitting in my car. And so I remember right when I was about to take the pills, because I want to say that I even put some of the pills in my mouth, but I spit them back out. Because I honestly had a moment where I just thought things through. And I thought about my family and how that would make them feel. I thought about my grandmother. I thought about my niece. And I honestly cannot remember. This is 2014. So it's 2023 now. It's a long time ago. I can't remember if my niece called me. She was 2 at the time, going on 3. I can't remember if she called me or if I called her. I want to say that she called me, but it could have been the other way around. I could have just called her in the moment, just trying to find some type of comfort. But I just remember talking to her, however it went. And I remember her asking me, Nanny, when are you coming home? That's what she calls me, Nanny, because when she was younger and a baby, she couldn't say auntie or Annie, you know, like we say in the South. So she would say Nanny. And so she's, like I say, going on 3 years old, but she could talk. Like maybe at 10 months, she's always been just very, very smart in advance. So she's like, Nanny, when are you coming home? And I remember it was almost like a spell was being broken. And I told her, I said, you know, when Nanny will be home soon. And, you know, I kind of kept it short and got off the phone. And whatever tears that I had before then, at this point, it's 10 times worse. It's like a river. You know, I am just weeping. I'm not crying. I'm weeping in my car. And I'm just weeping for maybe even hours before I go back to where I was staying with my boyfriend. And I remember going back, you know, we had some final words and I went to sleep that night and I woke up the next day. And it was the first day in forever that I had woken up and I did not feel like I wanted to take my life. So that's the reason why I call my encounter with suicide, I call it an encounter with suicide. I don't call it attempted suicide because I don't feel like I ever went that far. You know, I didn't swallow the pills. That would be more of an attempt. I spit them out. So I call it an encounter with suicide. I was basically dancing on the back of suicide, but I did not go all the way through with it. And so we know what the basic definition of suicide is. It's the intent of it's the intentional taking of one's own life. A person who intentionally takes their own life, basically to die by suicide. But I found this definition that really just stuck out to me. It says destruction of one's own interests or prospects. And so that's really what this podcast is going to be talking about. It's going to be talking about just destruction in general and all of the things that could lead up to suicide. And also we're going to be talking about suicide in a way that is not just physical death. It's not just, you know, someone taking their own life. It's the little things. It's the little moments that are being killed and being taken away from us. And that could possibly lead up to us sitting somewhere wanting to take our own life. It's the death of our dreams, the death of our purpose, maybe even the death of a loved one. And we feel like we can't move on. It's all of these different areas of destruction that, you know, may be self-inflicted or maybe even inflicted by someone else. They could be internal wounds or wounds that have started based on, you know, relationship with someone else or based on what someone else said. And so we're going to be talking about all of those things. And so there's really going to be a breakdown of combating the lies of the enemy, which is the devil, for those of you who don't know, Satan. We're going to be talking about that, but we're also going to be talking about the enemy, which is the parts of you that nobody can see, the thoughts that you deal with that nobody can see. So I'm going to be helping you to reverse those suicidal thoughts so that we can pursue freedom together. And just please understand that we are in this together. It's been years now. You know, at this point, I do have a therapist. I do have a life coach who has been helping me tremendously just with my life in general and just with my purpose and all of the things that God has called me to do. And so even though I am a woman of faith, a woman of God, I really want to get a little more technical when it comes to what suicide is. And how it can play a part in your life and in your dreams and your calling and all of these different things. And so as I was researching how to relaunch this podcast, I was going through all of my notes, finding everything that I had on reversing suicide. I do want to say that this entire podcast idea, it was birthed from a poem that I wrote. I believe it was in 2016, I believe, which would have been 2 years after my encounter with suicide. I wrote this poem that was called Inside the Walls of Isolation, and I eventually changed it, or I was talking about being inside the walls of isolation. And so I had wrote this poem, and it really just talked about just how I felt coming out of that darkness, you know, seeing the light. And even the next day, I mentioned when I woke up, I didn't want to take my own life for the first time in a while. So when I woke up that day, I actually felt God, or heard God for the first time clearly in my life. And I literally heard him tell me, as I'm laying on my knees, I'm like kneeling down on my knees as if I'm praying. But I'm literally just laying there because I've gone through something so traumatic. I literally could have been dead. And so I'm just on my knees, just crying. And I literally hear God tell me that this is not the end. It's not the end of your life. There is more for you. You know, you have a purpose. I'm hearing all of these words. And from that moment, everything for me shifted and my entire life changed. I ended up getting out of a relationship. I ended up eventually graduating, ended up being in a national best-selling book in college, the same college that I was failing at. It's just a lot. So much stuff happened from that moment. And so I'm definitely going to talk about that later as well. But I wanted to get into just how my life was after that moment happened. I really started to hear from God more. I started to understand that I was here for a reason. I started to understand that my trauma didn't define me, you know, that all of the hurt and the pain that had been caused, that there would be a purpose for it. And so I just started writing. I remember I did a blog. It was the poem first. And then I did a blog in 2016. And in this blog, I just started releasing poetry, just whatever was on my heart. I did not even really care what it was about. It was like relationship stuff, stuff about my walk with God, stuff about just family issues, whatever was on my heart, I released it. And I just really found a lot of comfort by sharing my story and putting my words out to the world. And so one thing that I did, I believe this was a book that I was working on. Because before I start recording, I'm just going through all of my notes trying to find everything about this time period in my life. So it's like a span of maybe 4 years, from 2014 to 2018, I believe, where there was just, I was just writing so much about this period of my encounter with suicide. So one of the things that I had wrote that I was working on was a self-help journal that was going to be talking about reversing suicide. And it's something that I'm definitely going to launch as well. But today I wanted to just read the introduction or the preface of what I had wrote. And I pray that this really helps you. So it says, there are many things that can happen in your life to make you feel a sense of shame. Most of the time, something happened either to you or maybe just involving you or someone you love. At times, you start to feel as if coming out of the shadows will cause you to be judged. Maybe you feel as if you would lose those you care about if you admit to certain things. You start to drift further and further away from those close to you because in your mind, they won't understand your troubles. I spent almost 10 years feeling this way. My heart ached with just the thought of coming out of the darkness. I was comfortable there. It may have brought me more pain to spend my life so hidden, but it was the choice that I made. I told myself I would rather stay behind closed doors than to deal with the judgment of others if they found out what I was really dealing with. Although I could not stop what happened to me, I still felt if somehow it was my fault. I blamed myself for the injury. I blamed God. My entire life was ahead of me, and one moment changed the entire course of it. This series is called Uncovered because my life was hidden for so long. With my words, I hope to encourage someone to come out of the shadows as I have. I hope to help someone understand the meaning of self-love. I hope to help someone become motivated to live. There's an entire world out there, and though sometimes it can feel small, lonely even, God is always with you. So one of the biggest lies that I was told constantly just over the years of depression and dealing with anxiety and different things that I was dealing with was that I was alone. You know, God didn't love me. There was even times where, you know, I was thinking there is no God. You know, life has definitely made a believer out of me and different transitions and just trials that God is definitely real. You know, I don't know everybody's belief. I understand that, you know, people believe in different things, but I can only speak from what I know for 100% fact. And it was God and God alone who stopped me from taking my life. It was God and God alone who spoke to me the very next day, telling me that I still had a purpose and that he loved me and that it was not the end. And so I just really want to speak to anyone who may be in this exact moment of wanting to take your life. I just want you to hear and know from someone who has been there that this is not the end. There is more for you. There's a reason that at this very moment you're still breathing. God loves you regardless of what has happened to you. I know that there are so many things that you may not understand. You know, the abuse or the sexual, physical, mental abuse, emotional, so many different things that may have happened to you. God still loves you. He sees all. He is ready to redeem you. He is ready to help you understand your purpose. And there is nothing too hard for you to still live. There is nothing too hard for you to still be here. And so I just want you to know that I am here with you. I definitely understand I may not have the exact experiences as you have, but I believe that all of us, we have dealt with some type of trauma in our lives. And so just find comfort in that, that there is someone out there who knows what you are going through, what you have gone through, and that it does get better. Even now as I'm recording this, it's honestly only the strength of God that's allowing me to even speak, because at this very moment, I'm still dealing with grief. I'm still dealing with heartbreak. The same father that was not there, you know, growing up, I was able to restore their relationship. And I will speak about that later as well. But he actually was killed about a month ago, a little over a month ago. And so it's very hard to even, you know, try to give hope to someone else. But I feel like it is something that I am called to do. So as I am currently still going through grief, I just want to let you know that there is still hope for you, and that it does get better. And that sometimes you have to just walk out the pain. Even as you're hurting, you still sometimes have to just walk it out. And so I'm here with you. I'm here for you. And I look forward to just talking to all of you on the next episode. And I look forward to seeing what this podcast in its relaunched state, you know, as I'm getting new direction on what all is going to be. I really hope that we are able to just journey together, to walk this thing out together, and to just really lean on each other through this thing called life. My niece has a t-shirt line and a saying that she made up called "Life is hard, but life can be hard. I'm sorry. Life can be hard, but life never fails." And I feel like that's very, very timely. Even in this preview of the podcast, that life can be hard, but life never fails. So regardless of what it is that you're experiencing, regardless of your past and, you know, whoever may have hurt you, your life still has a purpose, and it may be hard, but it never fails. Life will always make sense after a while. So I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Reversing Suicide Podcast. I'm your host, Delisa Trichelle. Here, I help you face the trauma that leads to mental strongholds, combat the lies of the enemy and your inner me, reverse suicidal thoughts, and pursue freedom. Continue to uncover my story with me as I walk with you on the journey of reversing suicide.